This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Coming up, Subversity with Dan Zhang. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. Today, we're going to be talking with the new director of a film that's showing at the Newport Beach Film Festival. It's actually showing tonight and this evening. Welcome, Justin Lo. Welcome again. Why did you make this film?
It's called The Conrad Boys, and it's about two brothers who, one of them's quite a bit older than the other. He's about 18, and the younger brother's 8 years old, and my character that I play, his name's Charlie, and that's the older brother, and their mother passes away, so Charlie decides to take care of the younger brother. It's not autobiographical, but there's another love story element in it as well. Charlie becomes involved with this other man named Jordan. And so his loyalties are kind of split between Jordan and Ben. And the stuff about, you know, having a relationship, you know, everyone can relate to that. And that was pulled from my own life. So, but why did I make the film? I would say I really liked independent dramas, but I wasn't seeing that there was a lot of gay main characters. And I thought that there could stand to be more serious-minded films with gay main characters. I started writing this 4 years ago before the whole Brokeback phenomenon. But
right.
Yeah, so that's why I made it.
How about the characters? You wrote the story, but how did you get the actors?
I put a notice in the Backstage West, which is an actors' trade magazine. And we were just really lucked out. We got the first person who auditioned for the Jordan character, the love interest character. He was excellent. And the little boy we got to play my brother, his name's Boo Boo Stewart, and he just blew us away.
So how old was is he?
He's not. He was nine when we made it. Yeah.
And the other character?
I think he's mid-20s.
Mid-20s. Yeah.
His name's Nick Bartson.
Why did you put yourself in?
Oh, well, I've always, of the things that I do, I directed and wrote the movie, but my favorite thing is always to write and to act. I'm kind of I don't fit very many molds that people write for. I figured if I wrote something for me, that was a guaranteed role.
That's great. Yeah, that's really important. Yeah. How about do you get active in little theater and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. When I was younger, I was heavily involved in South Coast Repertory in Costa Mesa. I loved theater. I did theater in high school.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
in Orange County.
Yeah, I went to high school at Newport Harbor High School.
Oh, is that in Newport Beach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you out then?
No. No, because let's see, I graduated in 1999, and it just wasn't. I don't know. I didn't come to that acceptance until freshman year of college.
Did you know about it?
Yeah, I knew, you know, what what being gay was, but it wasn't in my, you know, I wasn't ready to accept that until right after high school.
Did your parents accept it? Or?
Yeah, my parents were remarkable. I came out to them and they just immediately accepted me, hugged me and said, "That's fine." And so it's so weird when you talk about to your peers about it and they have such, you know, heart-wrenching stories, but mine is so, it's really nice.
Did they already know?
Probably. I think most people did.
And was there any difference in the reaction of the father and the mothers and the mother?
No. They were equally supportive, yeah.
Because sometimes people argue that Asian families are more more conservative, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I could see that as being true for sure.
Yeah.
But no, my dad's Chinese, and he was, couldn't have been better, honestly.
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So on the film itself, were they supportive too on your making the film? And
oh yeah, yeah. Which was really nice. They helped finance the movie, and there would be no movie without them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So is this your first, feature film, right?
Yes, it is. It's my first feature, and my sister, Chelsea Lowe, actually wrote the theme song that bookends the film. So
oh, wow.
It's really neat to hear her music in it.
How did you know you were going to get accepted at Newport? Was that a guarantee or something?
No, not at all. I was very, very pleasantly surprised. I didn't know anyone at the Newport Beach Film Festival, so I just sent it in with you know, the application fee and the application, and we got accepted. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
that's great.
And we have very exciting news. Yesterday we were accepted to New Fest, the New York Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. That will be our second festival.
That's in Soho.
Yes. And that's June 1st to the 11th.
Oh wow, are you going to go out there?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Oh, that's really good. How about the one in San Francisco?
A Frameline. I don't know. I haven't heard back yet.
Oh.
But it's coming up. I mean, I thought we would find out about these things, you know, a long time, but I guess a month is pretty much your warning.
You would think they would have to print the program and all that because it's the end of June, like the Pride Week of June.
Definitely, you would think so.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you get it.
Thanks.
So does this, are you going to go to the festival circuit right now? Right?
Yeah, we're doing the festival circuit right now. You know, depending on what happens, we might self-distribute.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite sure yet.
On DVD eventually?
On DVD.
Yeah, even on DVD, yeah. Are producers or, I mean, are distributors talking to you yet?
No, we don't have any distributors talking to us. Mainly, I think, because I've been trying to kind of shield it away from, you don't really want to send out just to
anyone.
Yeah. You want everyone to see it at the same time in a theater with an audience, and they'll get excited about it.
Yeah. Word of mouth, I think, is quite important.
Exactly. We've been building this enormous buzz, I think, on MySpace.com.
Oh, yeah. I was pretty amazed at that. I didn't know. That's my first time I went to MySpace.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Shows how old I am. But
no. We didn't have a MySpace account till 4 weeks ago. So.
Oh, really? Looks. So you must have somebody that puts up your website and stuff.
Right? Yeah.
It's really well done.
Thank you.
I like the fact that you have also trailers on it and pictures and other stuff.
Yeah, you can watch the trailer online.
Yeah. Are these mostly your friends in the film? But no, I guess you picked you auditioned people too.
Yeah, I auditioned people. My best friend Nancy Hancock plays my best friend in the movie. And then my friend Keegan Bell is also in the movie. But besides that, I didn't know anyone before the film.
How was it difficult directing as well as acting in it?
Yes, because you really have to. I mean, I kind of appointed to a couple people on the set to. You know, if this isn't working, just tell me, because, you know, sometimes I'm so involved, and I really need an outsider's opinion. So I had a couple people on set that I trusted to tell me, and they did. They'd be like, Justin, you got to change that line. You got to make this more realistic. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
How about the camera angles and all that? How did you find the cinematographer?
I found the cinematographer through, it was IFP at the time, now it's Find Film Independent in Los Angeles. His name's Octe Ortabasi, and he has a company called Dreaming Tree in Burbank, and he's an excellent cinematographer. We shot on mini DV, and he knew just how to light the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Incredibly. If you see it tonight, you'll just be amazed that it was on mini DV. It looks beautiful. Yeah.
How about your own edit, you edited it, right, too?
I did edit it, and that was really one of the most fun things I thought about making a movie. I mean, they say a movie is made three times, you write it, when you shoot it, and then when you edit it. And I think the editing was really one of the most fun because, you know, it's kind of like life. You have what you're given, and you can do the best with what you have, and that's what editing is.
Because usually editors don't get much credit, I mean, outside of the film industry.
Very true, yeah. It's like... And also sound editing, which I did not do. Paul Both at Postmodern did that in Irvine, and he did an excellent job. But sound, it's like, if someone doesn't comment on the sound, that means you did a good job.
Oh, I see.
Because it's like transparent. It's like, well, I didn't even notice the sound because it was right.
Oh, yeah. What kind of machines did you use? Final Cut Pro?
We used that. To edit, we used the Avid Express Pro HD. And
you had to rent studio space for that?
I bought a system. It was like,
wow.
But it was buying a computer. So,
oh, okay. It comes on a Mac or PC?
Comes on a PC or a Mac.
Oh, and, no. Oh, wow.
It was really not that difficult to edit, but, The post process did take a while, though, about 11 months.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was...
You had to blow it up.
Yeah, I blew it up using a company called DV Film in Austin.
Oh.
And it's gorgeous, so
wow.
I'm excited to screen it for the first time tonight.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you have to pre-screen it to people? Have you had, showing it to your friends? And
No, I am... the only people who have seen the actual film print are me and my sister.
Oh.
We went and rented out a little theater in L.A. and just watched it, and we were giddy.
Oh,
it was so fun.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to have a post-film party?
I'm not sure yet.
Post-showing, I mean.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure yet. I know a lot of cast and crew are coming, so they might get together. We all might get together and get some drinks and something afterwards.
Why did you have it at the Lido?
Well, the Newport Beach Film Festival's two venues are the Lido and Fashion Island 7. And they choose the times that you're going to play.
Oh,
and, the Lido's 650 seats, so it's big. And I'm really excited that we get to show there. I've been going there when I was a little kid watching movies, so it's pretty neat.
I've only gone there during festivals.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's parking outside. I guess there is that parking lot outside nearby.
Yes, the Pavilion's parking lot.
Oh,
hopefully
yeah.
They'll let us all park there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've done that, yeah.
That's good.
Maybe we can go back on the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
You said some of it was biographical.
Mm-hmm.
What part of it?
I had a relationship with a guy when I was 19 or 20, Charlie's age in the movie. And it was just, I knew he wasn't the right guy for me for the long term, but he, changed me in a way that made me more open and, accepting of myself and others. And so that's kind of his character is based on, the Jordan character based on him.
In those days, how did people meet? Oh, how did you meet?
how did we meet? Yeah, we met at a club.
Oh,
yeah.
And you could get in. You could. Oh, what,
yeah.
Were you 19?
Yeah, I was 19, but I think they'd have some 18 and overnights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do people meet in the movie? Do you talk about how people meet now? I mean, how did in the movie
they meet?
Charlie meet.
Charlie's working at a restaurant, and Jordan just kind of comes in and kind of comes on to him. So Jordan's very. Sure of himself.
Confident.
Yes, that's right.
So do you see this as a, is this a comedy? You see a film as
as
a drama?
Definitely more as a drama.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've always liked movies, dramas, and especially You Can Count on Me and What's Eating Gilbert Grape. So this is kind of in the same tradition.
Genre. Yeah. In dramas, usually the narrative is very important.
Yes.
And did you? You said it took you a couple of years to write it.
Yes, it took me 2 years and 14 days. And I say that because it was really. I thought I was done. I was like, "This is 2 years. It's finished. It's good." And then I had a friend, Ethan Soley, who read it, and he's very, very smart and very good at scripts. And he just, tore it apart and told me, helped me really develop the characters more. And so then in 14 days, we just banged it out. And it's a much better movie for it.
Were you writing it for a film or for a play?
For a film, definitely for a film. I like writing plays, too.
Mm.
That's something that I might want to do in the future also, playwright. And
wow, that's amazing. How about the... there's this theater in, where was it, in Santa Ana?
Uh-huh.
The Root Gorilla. Did you ever go see
that? No, I haven't. I've never seen that.
Yeah, and they were fighting for space, I think, the last I heard, but I'm not sure what happened to it. It's a very small space, but it's very kind of creative work there.
That's neat.
It's right opposite the Gypsy Den off Main Street.
Uh-huh, I've been there.
Yeah, but the last I heard, I don't know if they actually had to evacuate or not.
Oh my gosh!
Because the space was changing. I guess they were getting some space, and then the owners, I guess, changed their mind or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's always a risk. Yeah, with small theater.
Very.
Yeah.
I know that small theaters they're hard to come by. I mean, I remember when you'd go to South Coast Plaza and Edwards had, four different, not just screens, but theaters all showing independent films, and now I think it's down to either one or two theaters. And
yeah,
that was one, sad for me.
There's one outside, opposite here, UCI.
Yes, well, that's professors. Definitely one of the best ones in the area.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
University at Regal.
Yeah, the in terms of filming it, a lot of it was shot, or most of it was shot in Orange County.
Yeah, about half of it was shot in Orange County. We shot some in Irvine Terrace Park with a view of the Balboa Island.
Yeah,
and we shot where else? Oh, we shot like on PCH going towards Crystal Cove.
Mm.
It's beautiful there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You don't really have to. Makes it look nice.
Did you use expensive equipment?
Uh-huh. We shot the film on a Panasonic DVX-100A, which is a 24P camera. It's not too expensive, but we rented it.
A few thousand.
Yeah, a few thousand.
24P, it means what?
24 frames per second, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And when you blow it up, you're saying that it's fine, huh?
It looks
big screen.
Yeah, incredible. I was my expectations were exceeded.
So the colors were okay.
Yeah, they like glow.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah, did you have to when you were editing it? Did you just did it on your own computer then?
Yes, I did it on my own computer, and then
yeah, different screens or
yeah, we had I had two screens.
Yeah,
and then once it was all once I had my final timeline, I exported it. To a tape and took it to Postmodern, and they helped me finish it. I mean, finish all the post things you had to do, including sound.
So the sounds are separate.
Yes, sound is its own little expensive realm.
Yeah,
and time consuming.
Did you get some? You said apart from your parents, was you got support from your parents? Did you get other support?
No,
get grants or anything?
No, just my family helped me and. I mean, we did it really modestly.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I tried to, keep costs down. And, I mean, it's been more expensive promoting the film and, trying to get into festivals and stuff like that.
How much do you spend on it, do you think?
Oh, I mean, just rough. I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
But it's been, it's from your heart, so you want to just go for it. And
how about the actors get paid or?
Oh, yeah, the actors got paid, but very, very, because they were excited to be in a movie. And
below scale.
Yeah, below scale, yeah. Definitely. But it's okay. It wasn't a union movie.
Oh, yeah. How did you find the locations? Did you spot them out first? Or?
Yes, we, for instance, we filmed also a lot of in Long Beach, and we needed a liquor store for that day, and I guess it's not. I didn't know this, but liquor stores are notoriously bad about wanting people to shoot in their stores. So we went to like six or seven, and then the eighth one, they finally said, "Okay, you can shoot here." And it was like the nicest one. So,
are they run by Koreans? No, I'm sorry. Many are.
Actually, the one we ended up with was owned by Russians.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I write about sexuality journals and stuff.
Uh huh.
And I used to have to go to liquor stores to find the more popular versions. And
oh, my gosh,
but I don't know if they still carry erotica or anything.
Liquor stores, I have a feeling they do.
Yeah, I used to find one in Costa Mesa. But I haven't found them recently, so I'm not sure where they've migrated to.
Huh.
But, how about writing? Do you write for journals and small press and other things?
I haven't yet, no.
Mm.
Starting my master's in professional writing at USC.
Oh, wow.
So that will be it'll help me, grow as a writer and do more creative things.
What department would that be in?
That's under Letters, Arts, and Sciences.
Oh.
But it's called an MPW, and it's similar to a master's in creative writing.
Oh, professional. Master's of professional writing.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. How long is that program?
It's anywhere from 2 to 5 years, however long you take. You have to complete, depending on what your concentration is, you have to complete either a full-length play or a full-length movie or a full-length novel.
Huh.
So
you don't just want to do film?
No. No, I've always liked plays, and, who knows, maybe one day I'll try my hand at writing a book, but
yeah.
I've always loved movies too, so.
You mean a novel or a nonfiction?
Yeah, it would probably be a novel, but I have a long way to go before I do that.
Yeah. Do you think people have to go to school to learn to write?
No, I don't think so. I think there's some people who just have that gift to write, you know. That's just what they were born to do.
How about film school, though? Was that useful at all?
You know, I went to...
Film classes, yeah.
Yeah, film classes. I took some film classes at USC, and that was, yeah, of course, extremely useful. It's such a... there's so many things you should know before you make a movie. And then I took a screenwriting class at UCI with Marie Cartier in 2001, and she was great, and she goes over structure and all the things, you know, basic screenwriting stuff.
Do you actually have to write something for that? Or?
You got into groups, and then each group was assigned a genre, and then you had to come up with 15 pages, the beginning of a movie, and then the whole beat outline for the rest of the movie.
What genre did you pick?
Oh, I was in the romantic comedy group.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how I ended up in that one, but it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. Did other people from that group end up making movies?
I don't know. I didn't keep in touch with anyone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. How about in terms of school? You said that you, in terms of coming out, I guess, was that in college or was that before that?
No, it was in college. Uh-huh. Yeah, and freshman year.
At UCLA?
Mm-hmm.
Were you involved in any of the activist groups on campus?
Yes. After I came out, I went to, it was like a men's discussion group, and that was, you know, really helpful because you meet people, you know, your peers, your own age, just like going through stuff just like you. So that was great. They'd meet like every night, and then we'd go to dinner or we'd talk or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd also talk about, they'd pick an issue for the night, either political or social.
Yeah.
And we'd talk about that.
Were there any books that you read that you come to mind?
Books.
Who reads?
Yeah, no. No, I didn't read any specifically about, homosexuality or anything that. Yeah. No.
Did you, when you realized you were gay?
It was just, I kind of got into like kind of a funk. I was like kind of sad and depressed for maybe 3 weeks. And then I was like, I think that I'm gay and that's fine. And, it was just kind of like that, I probably always knew kind of in the back of my head, but I know I was kind of sad. And then all of a sudden, I found my way out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think, given the... the gay kind of images are all over now, it seems, like much more popular and much more mainstream.
Definitely.
Do you think that helps or helps people come out? Or?
Oh, absolutely.
But people still go through this kind of process.
I would imagine so, but so much more. I'm sure there's statistics that people are coming out much earlier in high school
definitely.
And stuff like that.
Sure. On chat lines, there's always people that are all ages. And
right.
Yeah. Do you find that, I guess college is different, right? University is different. They're more, they basically leave you alone and you can do what you want.
Right.
Whereas, do you talk to any high school students that are in like these groups, what do you call it, GSAs?
GSAs. Yeah. No, I haven't. I don't even know if Newport Harbor has a GSA now. It probably does. But it's probably a great, support system. And I've heard from kids that, if some guys make fun of some gay kids at school, like that's uncool.
Yeah.
It's not cool to make fun of the gay kids anymore, I guess. That's what I heard.
So. Yeah. Well, last night, I think at the shorts, they actually showed a short film about kids talking about the word gay.
Uh-huh.
And these are kids whose parents are gay. Or lesbian.
Oh.
So it's quite interesting. They were actually...
Was it a documentary?
Yes.
Okay.
It was an interview with kids all over the country, including somebody from Mission Viejo.
Oh, wow.
And it was all over, actually different races, and talking about what it means and they were saying the first part of the film, they were saying, oh, the kids would say, you're so gay, as a kind of just
an insult.
Insult, yeah. But it wasn't, they really didn't know what it mean,
right.
What it meant. Yeah. But the, of course, these were kids who were kids of gay parents. So they even learned to do, to be secretive about it. Because they didn't tell, they only told certain people that their parents were gay. But then other people would just rat on them and tell everybody at the school.
Right.
So they had different experiences, I guess, with that.
Yeah.
So it's a sea change, because I think most of the films last night I saw took the assumption that it was normal to be gay, and that it was, you know, that the anti-gay people were the weird people.
Yeah.
So it seemed like I don't think you could have seen that film 10 years ago.
No.
Those films, those types of films.
It's and that's actually what you just mentioned was one of my things that we wanted to do with our film. Because if you watch our movie, it's really not about Charlie's, like, problems with being gay. It's right. more about, you know, his relationship with his new lover and his brother. And if you had made the central relationship straight, it really wouldn't have changed the story.
So the focus of the relationship, it really, I mean, that's universal.
Yes.
That whole relationship thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you see that, do you think people are settling down more? Or, I mean, because some people argue that the 20s, you know, when you come out then up to the 20s, you're just playing around.
Right.
Having lost sense of relationships. And then by the 30s, maybe people start settling down, or late 20s.
Right. I don't know about everyone else.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Right.
But maybe. I mean, for myself, I've been in a relationship since I was 21. So that's 3 years now. And, you know, I don't see myself as coming out of it. So that's the... for me, I've been more like, not what you said.
Yeah. How about open relationships? What do you think of that idea?
Oh, gosh. If it works for people, you know, my theory is that there's as many different types of, you know, everything, sexuality and interests, and as there are people in the world. I mean, so if that's how you guys want to do to live your life and have your relationship, then that's fine with me.
So you don't try to be judgmental?
No, no, not at all. I was an anthropology major. They try to train that out of you.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. You didn't want to go through, continue with that in grad school?
No, I mean, I just fell into anthropology because at the time I didn't know I had wanted to make a film. If I had, I probably would have been a film major. As it happened, I had never taken an anthropology class. I ended up in culture and communication, and I was like, well, okay, I really understand this. I can write about this, and I can analyze a telephone conversation. I get that. So it was a really natural major for me to pursue. And it was like, I mean, anthropology is the study of man, so there was a lot. I mean, there's four divisions, I'm sure you know.
Was it physical and whatever? Yeah.
Yeah, I was focused on sociocultural, but make you take the physical and the archaeology and the linguistics.
Well, is it? Are they pretty open about gay students? Or
Yeah, I was UCLA, and it's like no big deal.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, did you find that with anthropology, was you able to use some of that in your characters, the how people relate to each other, that kind of stuff?
I mean, I think it's also true as an actor, because you don't want to judge the people that you're portraying.
Oh, right.
As an anthropology too, I just, you try and get inside the characters' heads, and if you're writing for them, you kind of see what they would be feeling, and then you write that, like, what would they say here, and...
How about research? Some people, I guess maybe that's more true of nonfiction or documentaries, I guess. But did you do research for your film?
Yes, I did, because I wanted to make sure that this was even, you know, legal for a 19-year-old to take care of his 9-year-old brother. So I called, you know, DFS at DFS. Family Child Services, in Los Angeles, and I had several conversations with the people, the directors there, and they were like, yeah, that's, you know, that's perfectly legal, for if you're over 18, you can take care of your younger sibling. if you have no parents in the picture.
So,
but of course, in our film, the dad comes back, in the picture. Yeah.
So that causes problems.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. did you want to portray him as a negative figure or what?
Yeah. At the beginning, I wanted the father's really trying to redeem himself through the film. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, you kind of want Charlie's very wary of him. And he doesn't know if he should, how he should react towards his dad anymore. But by the end of the film, Charlie begins to come around, and that's kind of the story with the father character.
How about the gay character? The other gay character, yeah.
Well, let's see. The Jordan character, Ethan helped me work out this sort of dichotomy between what my character's interests were and Jordan's. So my character's interests are like history. He loves history. And then the Jordan character is into literature.
Oh.
And especially the Beat movement with Jack Kerouac.
Oh, yeah.
And so the Jordan character, as a part of that, he kind of makes up stuff about his own life. He's not entirely honest. So Jordan's all about fantasy and fiction, and my character's about what's real and taking care of his brother and more
grounded.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So do you think that's generally, do you think that's what breaks up relationship? Not sex, but more what people have, not in common, but at least, some people argue that you have to be similar, but I think opposites also attract.
Definitely.
So how what do you think of that? Yeah.
Gosh. I would say, I really don't know what, if you can point to one thing that breaks people up. Just people are so varied in everything that it's, I don't know. It just, there's some sounds here.
Sorry.
It's okay.
It's a weird sound. Oh, it's a weekly test.
Oh, okay.
I guess I have to do something here.
Yeah, this always happens on my TV.
Yeah.
When I'm watching something I want to watch, and then.
Okay. we can, let's see if I have to do anything. We have to read the thing. Wait till it prints out. It's printing out the instructions.
Oh, our test?
It's just a test.
Okay.
Emergency alert system.
That's good.
Maybe because GW is in town.
Oh, that's why there were so many police here. On my way here, I saw about 30 police officers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guarding the airport.
Oh, yeah, because the meeting is right next to the airport. Oh,
okay.
The Irvine.
Really confused.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know he was in town either
until this morning. Yeah. I think he's talking to some Republican business people about his immigration plan.
Okay.
We're actually talking with Justin Lowe, who's the director of a new film called The Conrad Boys. And that film, maybe you can talk about, it's playing at the Regal Lido.
The Lido, yeah. Lido, and I think it's owned by Lemley now. But it's playing at 5 p.m. tonight, 3459 Via Lido in Newport Beach.
Newport Beach, at Newport Boulevard.
Right,
and it's part of the Newport Beach Film Festival. Have you seen other films there?
On Friday I saw Journey from the Fall, which is an excellent movie about a family escaping after the fall of Saigon, and they're playing several times in the festival because of the demand, but it's an excellent, very emotional movie.
Yeah. And how about the shorts, the gay shorts that you saw?
I did. I saw two of the gay shorts last night. One was called Ariana, and I met the filmmaker Shashi, and it was an excellent film as well. I loved it. It was about a man, an internist who comes home with his lover, and lives with his grandmother, and the grandmother's very unaccepting, but she's also going through, I think it was maybe Alzheimer's or she has some sort of stroke, and it was just really well done. That was called Ariana.
Is the mother Jewish?
Was in my film?
No, in this film you're talking about.
Oh, Ariana? No, she's not. Shashi's from Trinidad. So
could she be Russian? I thought she was talking and
maybe. She was playing his grandmother in the film, so I honestly don't know.
It was quite interesting because it showed that there was a relationship going on between this biracial gay couple,
right?
And then the one character's grandmother was more important to him because of kind of history,
yes,
than this boyfriend, I guess,
right?
And but eventually they kind of understood each other, I
guess. Right?
So that it's good. I think it's good to show. Did you try to do that in your film too? That to show relationships that are more complicated than, you know, because a lot of gay films end up almost fake. You know?
Yes, sort of superficial.
Superficial, I mean.
Definitely. I mean, that was one of our goals, was to make this sort of frivolous and more serious.
Yeah.
So.
And how did you, that's why you didn't want to make a happy film. Totally happy film.
Yeah. I would say our film is bittersweet, so.
Yeah. What do you think of last night there was, they also showed a preview of one of those, you know, when the movie starts, before the movie starts, uh-huh. We show you all these clips of sponsors and all this stuff. And there was one from the festival itself. They had these French people walking up the shore and they said, they were giving these couple of white guys a baguette.
Uh-huh.
And then one of the guys said, did you hear what he called you?
Right.
Did you think that was funny or not?
I've seen it twice now, and I did think it was pretty clever. And it's so funny, like when I saw Journey from the Fall, the audience was a lot more, you know, reserved and subdued. But then when you see the gay shorts, everybody's like laughing and.
Yeah, I thought the reaction was more, especially some of the characters on some of the shorts, or even the ads at the beginning, there was some maybe gay implications and people were laughing, picking up on that.
Yeah, definitely.
More. Yeah.
I think gay people, I think everyone loves to see, you know, themselves represented or something about their community represented on screen. But gays in particular are very, you know, vocal and appreciative. They voice their appreciation.
Yeah. And how about, but how did you advertise this? You said you have a MySpace.
Yeah.
How did you get that space, or did the festival also have a space on it?
We got some promotion in the Daily Pilot and the OC Register, and we've really targeted a lot of younger people through MySpace, but we get all ages through that too. And then the film festival itself, you can buy tickets online. Yeah. At NewportBeachFilmFest.com.
What's the reaction of people on the MySpace? Did you get a lot of feedback?
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of feedback, and it's been really positive. People love the trailer. They always ask. I mean, people from Illinois and you know, Kentucky and states that we won't play in the theaters. They'll ask when can they get the DVD. So it's really neat. And some people are really confused, and they want me to send them the film via the internet, and I'm not going to do that. And some people just want to chat with you. It's really funny.
do they identify with the characters in the trailer then?
Yeah, definitely. People love the music because it's it sounds heartfelt, and people want they're really responding to the story.
Did you it's your trailer's online, right?
Yes.
What is the URL?
It's www.myspace.com/theconradboys.
The Conrad Boys.
Yeah.
See, that comes up. Oh, I see. Yeah. And let's see. Does it have... we can play it on the air, right?
Yeah,
can
that's we? Fine.
Yeah. Let me see if we can pull it up. Oh, I see. Here it is. Okay, it's starting already. Go back to the beginning here. Let's see. Let me try to get back to the beginning here. hear that? Oh, it's this one.
Really peaceful in the Conrad household. That's me.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie.
There you go.
That's my mom.
Hi.
Hi.
And this is my brother, Ben.
Charlie, you gotta come see this.
All in all, things were pretty good. But then something happened to my mom.
Oh, my God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I decided to take care of Ben.
Don't go.
And that's how the story begins.
Listen, you can't stay home every weekend reading about the Hundred Years' War. It's not good for your health.
I'm Jordan. Charlie. What you reading, Charlie?
It's called The Histories by Herodotus.
Ah, ancient Greece.
Ben, this is Jordan. Jordan, Ben.
Hey, guy.
What's up?
This your mom?
Uh-huh.
Where's your dad?
I came here to tell you, Charlie, I'm moving back.
He says he wants to help with Ben or something. I don't want Ben to see him.
Can I help you?
Is Charlie here?
Oh, no.
Is Ben here?
You know, most kids don't like to wake up and find everyone gone.
I know.
I have to look like I can be a good guardian to Ben. Like I can provide a safe environment for him to grow up in. You didn't tell him you're living here, did you?
I'm going to write you as a character in my book.
Good luck with that.
So that was a trailer from The Conrad Boys, and we're talking with the director, Justin Low. This is Dan Tsang with Subversity here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California nor the management of KUCI. Did you edit the trailer also?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Kicking and screaming. I was like, I thought I was done with this, but I did. I did edit it.
Yeah, every film has to have a trailer.
Yes. I love trailers.
Yeah. It's a teaser.
Mm-hmm.
Did you agonize over what to put in it? Or?
Yes, it was very difficult because, you know, you had 93 minutes and now, people will argue, but I mean, for the most part, you're telling the story minus the ending and giving them feel of the movie. So it's hard to choose which spots to put in.
Did you, in the film, did you have to, when people were making out, were there certain things you couldn't show? Or?
You mean in terms of like skin?
Yeah. Skin.
Well, there's a scene, where, you know, my character and, the Jordan character are getting pretty physical in the kitchen. And
shirtless.
Yeah. Well, no, we have our shirts in that scene.
Yeah.
But the sound, the lady who was recording the sound, she wanted us to take our shirts off. I wanted sort of the immediacy and the rawness and just, you know, don't even have time to take off your shirts. But she was like thinking from a more commercial standpoint. She's like, you need to take off your shirts. That's all I'm gonna say. But I didn't let her sway me.
It reminds me of there was a film at another earlier film, Newport Beach Film Festival, called The Bombay Boys,
uh-huh.
And it was about three expats, Indians who were studying in the U.S. or somewhere else,
uh-huh.
And they all went back to India, and one of them was a gay character, and when he went back, he picked up some guy, and they were making out and took off his shirt,
uh-huh.
And as he took off his shirt, this family, Indian family, who didn't know this, there was a gay character in one of the three stories,
right,
walked out with the whole family.
Wow.
And so that was a trigger for, they just freaked out,
basically. Yeah.
That wouldn't happen in your film, I suppose.
No, I hope not.
Because it's advertised as a gay theme.
Definitely.
In the program, definitely.
Yes.
Yes. But, Do you try to? I mean, when you write, that brings up a question to me. When you make a film, do you think about the audience or do you think about what you want to say?
I thought about what I wanted to say. That's not to say that everyone doesn't think about the audience, but I really did. I didn't know who would want to see this movie.
Yeah.
I had a feeling, you know, it had gay themes that the gay audience would like it.
Were you trying to aim at certain age group? Or?
No.
Oh.
No, I, you know, when I wrote it, I was, 20? I was 21. So I just was writing about some experiences that a 20-year-old would have. So that's kind of why it turned out so young, probably.
Would you think it would help people coming out?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really important, and I think it's really nice if you can go to the video store when you're young and see, a DVD with a gay themed movie. That's just as intelligent as some of the other really good independent dramas.
What do you think of film companies that issue two versions of a film, like a less than 1 hour thing for the classroom use, mm-hmm. and then a longer one for theatrical release or home use or something?
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, because even Arthur Dong, he's a documentary filmmaker, and he's won awards at Frameline and stuff, and other awards, and he, even his film about the, I think it was about some gay, I forget what the topic was, but it was a gay related film, and there was two versions. What do you think as artists? Do you want to do that?
Probably not. I think most directors are pretty resistant towards cutting out more of their films, maybe to their detriment at times.
But that was one of the comments from the programmer of the Journey. A related comment was from the programmer at OC, at the Newport Film Festival, who programmed Journey from the Fall, this Vietnamese boat people film. And she said that that film was rejected at Cannes. And
wow.
And she thought that it was maybe because it was too long.
Too long.
And it's 2.5 hours long. And programmers tend to, want to fit things into slots. So
yes.
If it's longer, they it messes up other kind of schedules, I guess.
Right. Could be the case.
Yeah.
Because I don't see why else they wouldn't have chosen that one.
But the shorts, what is a short versus a feature then? I mean, what is it, basically length or is it what?
It is length. I think shorts typically are 30 minutes or less, and then features are typically 70 minutes or more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So 2.5 hours is a long film.
Yeah, it is.
Normally, yeah. Even in the mainstream movies, they're like about 2 hours, right?
Yeah. Most studios only want, unless they're working with an auteur, they want a movie that will fit five times a day. And 2.5 hour movies won't play them five times a day. It'll be four times a day.
You went to USC. Was that more geared towards Hollywood type stuff?
They're very encouraging of you to do whatever you want, actually, yeah.
Hmm.
Not just Hollywood stuff.
Because they do have much better connections.
They do have very good connections.
Yeah,
excellent professors. And
did you see any filmmakers when you were studying there? They were from Hollywood,
Right, right. Yeah. No, they would always have speakers.
Yeah.
I can't recall any right now, but they have an excellent program and really good editing. Lot of machine.
Practical stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
I know UCI is more theoretical. It's more abstract, and the whole art school is like that. It's not practical,
right?
Based, yeah.
It's a film. It's called film studies here, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's more film studies. Yeah,
yeah.
And even the art school one. I mean, there's film studies and there's visual studies, and then there's one in there's one in humanities, and there's this grouping in the art school.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, in there, yeah. Different programs, but different focuses. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But how about the in terms of taking classes there? Do you feel that do they talk to you about alternative, like independent filmmaking, how to get things distributed, or how to find funding? Is there anything like that, or is that you have to deal with it on your own?
No, definitely. They have something called the Peter Stark Producing Program, and that's producers have to do a lot, and one of the things is getting money, raising the money for the film, so they definitely, I'm sure, they go into that in detail. And other things.
How about impacts on you of films you've seen? What were directors or films that you thought made an impact on you?
I think I mentioned You Can Count on Me by Kenneth Lonergan, which is a really small, intimate, a modestly budgeted American independent movie, and it's just really, that one made an impact on me, and I listened to the director's commentary, and and he's actually a playwright also. Before he was a filmmaker. He's excellent. And, gosh, I've always loved movies. I love Paul Thomas Anderson. I saw Boogie Nights and Magnolia, and I think those two are just incredible. I love Adaptation by Charlie Kaufman.
So how about foreign filmmakers now?
I've seen several foreign films, obviously, but can I say any of them are my favorite? I don't know. I really enjoyed, like, Y Tu Mama Tambien and several other ones that aren't popping into my head at the moment.
That was a very fast pace on the Y Tu Mama Tambien.
Very, yeah. There's a real energy to it.
Yeah, yeah. Did do you know Spanish?
No, I wish.
Yeah. You lived in a, you put this character as a, similar to yourself, right, in this film, as a Hapa,
yes,
a biracial person. Why did you do that?
Because
is the brother also
yes
character also
Boo Boo is in real life and in the movie is biracial.
Oh. What parts?
I don't know. I never asked him. But I can tell.
Oh yeah.
Because I've met his parents. I did it just because I thought that a lot of times race isn't discussed in a movie.
Yeah.
And I thought, why not?
Yeah, yeah.
It's something that's so a part of our daily lives, whether we want to recognize it or not, that to not mention it, when that's something that when two people meet, that's maybe one of the first things that they'll even ask each other.
Yeah.
You know, what are you?
So, yeah. How about growing up? Did was that an issue at all at home or with friends or school?
Yeah. I think, thankfully, it never was for me. I mean, I grew up in Orange County, and, you know, I never felt like I was being treated differently or that I was different, really.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah. The, you know, the census figures for Asian Americans, the next census, they say, by the next census, Hapa, people who are either part Asian or part non-Asian, and it could all I think it's sometimes the word is used kind of more loosely as one ethnicity versus another. Like, you could be, the father could be Japanese and the mother could be Chinese. So I think, yeah, it's so in that, if you look at that definition, it's kind of multi-ethnic households. It's actually going to be the majority. Over 50% of Asians will be like that, mainly because of Hawaii, I guess. But
that's incredible. Wow.
Yeah. So that's a sea change from before, because
you
know, before it was like Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and those are large groups. And so this is really, it's because of the way they could collect data in the, on the census, that you could identify
different
ethnic groups, and then it would, you know, not be collapsed.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, that might, you know, some people are worried because they'll say, oh, then less resources go to certain groups. But I think it's all the better to have this kind of recognition, I guess.
I think so, too.
Do you read any Hapa magazines? Or?
No, I didn't. I in college, there was a Hapa group that I did some work with.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't really read any magazines.
Hapa Forum.
Are there any?
Hapa Forum is the group, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said it.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a couple, actually, I know about, but... they may be in the library. I'm the librarian here, and for Asian American stuff, and so we do get stuff when we can.
Oh, okay.
I just can't remember the name right now.
Right.
Yeah. Offhand. Yeah. I think they were actually, I remember they were at the Visual Communication Festival last year, circulating the magazine also, passing it out.
Uh huh.
So, yeah. So there is a whole network actually, international. I think maybe not. I don't know if it's international, but definitely. They do go, I know Koreans have gone back to Korea and done stuff there also, or visited people there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the part Korean Harpers, yeah.
Right.
So there's more of activism. I think they may be the largest activist group, yeah.
Wow.
It seems, yeah. At least from my kind of cursory look at the media. yeah. So I think if you just Google Harper Forum or something, you can...
I can find it.
You can find stuff, yeah, yeah. Do you find that... So you're going to go to grad school or this master's program?
Yes.
And then after that, what will you do?
Yeah. Hopefully something that the, you know, my master's program prepared me for, some sort of playwriting or more film work.
Oh, yeah. 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 Film writing, film screenplay writing.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Do you find that is... Was it difficult writing this one or...
Not... I mean, it was a lot of work, but it was a labor of love, so...
Were you doing other stuff during the time, the
yes,
2 years?
yeah, definitely. I was a student in college.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I was
yeah.
finishing out my bachelor's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I would, you know, homework was done, I would start to write, or in the mornings I would write.
Weekends?
Yeah.
Wow. So you said you're in a partnership now. Did your boyfriend... accept the fact that you're a writer or you're a filmmaker?
Yeah, very. He's been very supportive, incredibly so. And he doesn't have any sort of entertainment industry aspirations,
oh,
which
yeah.
is really nice and refreshing, but he's totally... he's camera shy.
That was part of what I was trying to ask
opposites
earlier.
Opposites attract,
that,
right?
The opposites. You don't have to do everything the same. Because I think it would be boring in a way to live with somebody who's exactly doing everything that you're doing.
Exactly. That's
because, you know, there's so much to learn from each other. And,
I think that's right.
So I think, yeah, I mean, because some people would say, oh, you're incompatible with this person. You have nothing in common.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I think differences are more interesting to me than sameness. Yeah. But not that I don't like sameness, but...
right.
I mean, it's comfortable to have somebody who's similar to you also.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I guess on that point, we're coming to the end. It's almost 10. Maybe you could give out the website of the film.
Sure. Yeah. The film website is www.theconradboys.com, and that's Conrad with a C. And then once again, you can watch the trailer on MySpace at myspace.com/theconradboys.
Thank you very much, Justin. We've been talking with Justin Lowe, who's the director, writer, actor, and et cetera, of The Conrad Boys, which is showing right now, this evening at 5 o'clock, at the Lido Theater as part of the Newport Beach Film Festival. Thank you. This is Subversity here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. You can go to the web at kuci.org/tuna, DTSANG, where you can find audio clips of previous shows, and this show will be posted also. Thank you.